Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Bed Talks. We are so excited to be here today. We had to bring the music to set the mood because our guest that we have today, we're gonna get deep.
Matter of fact, when we actually post this, you know, we may post this on a Sunday morning because some of you all have not been in any places of worship. Some of y'all have not been in the church, or some of y'all have not even been in what we call spiritual content. And honestly, I'm sorry, Chi, I just had to jump in.
Okay.
Dr. Allison is going to pretty much take us there.
Yes. Yeah, so welcome to Bed Talks. Thank you, listeners, for coming back for another episode. Thank you for continuing to support us. We promise we would keep challenging the way that we think about relationships, the way we bring inspirational material to you. So we are knocking it out the park this year. We are very motivated to bring people who can continue to empower, teach, and help you have healthy, thriving, sustainable relationships. With that said, we are so excited to have Dr. Preston Allison on our show out of Chicago. Welcome to the show. Would you please introduce yourself and tell people a little bit about who you are?
All right. Excellent. Excellent. My name is Preston Allison. I hold many different roles in this particular season. What brought me with you all is that we started PAJ Associates, Social Emotional Learning. I am the CEO of PAJ Associates, Social Emotional Learning. Now, what is that all about? We work with many organizations, non-for-profits. Whitlaw Restorative Justice Program is one of our clients that we work with. We work with various ones around the city, as well as I'm personally still in the hospital working with people with trauma from emotionally, physically, sexually, spiritually trauma, and we're going to get a chance to break those things down. And so we're working with individuals to help stabilize them psychologically and emotionally as they're going through their everyday living. And so we're partnershiping, and PAJ is partnership advocating justice. And so you say, well, why is it partnership advocating justice? It's because when trauma occurs to any individual, you must understand that an injustice act has taken place, whether it's from that person's perception or is it from their reality. Oftentimes in sight, they say that your perception is your reality, but it don't mean it's the reality. And so a lot of times we must comprehend that you have to think it through before you do a thing. And so we work with individuals how they can set goals, G-O-A-L, general opportunity to achieve in life. And we're going to set some plans for you, P-L-A-N, know your purpose, let's lay it out, and we're going to achieve it in our now.
I see you're using a lot of acronyms, and you went deep really fast, like I knew you would. So let's dial it back. A little bit. Let's talk about traumas. Let's talk about, for us, you know, for our audience, define what a trauma is, and define like how that trauma can impact someone, and then how that person could then come back from that trauma. You went through it. I got it. Plan. You gave me another acronym, but I want you to just go a little slower and just explain a little bit for our audience what that means.
Excellent. All right. So now let's define trauma. Trauma in the dictionary is an emotional shock that sustains in one's personality and characteristics, indicating through my socialization of interacting with an individual, that individual did something to shock me. Now, let's look at, for example, we'll give you titles. You'll look at a husband and a wife. Now, I've had many wives say, I don't trust him. I say, yes, you do. And then immediately they become mad because they're thinking I'm coming against them. And I say, let me clear up what I'm saying. You trust him because you're still sleeping with him. You just don't trust him in a particular area. Let's identify that area. So then we find out it's the area of finance. He goes to the riverboat. He goes to shop. Okay, so then that means that we can keep your ship and your relationship, and the ship don't have to sink. That means we're going
to
identify
the ship. Wait, you said the relationship and the ship don't have to sink. I think that's what you said, that is so interesting because you're right. Like, people say, I don't trust someone, but they still are engaged in that relationship. So identifying and segmenting that area where they need to get that trust where that trust isn't. That's the key. So a lot of times people may be giving up on their relationships that could have some good core values, but there could just be a misstep or misalignment.
There's one department within the grand scheme of that relationship, as you just pointed out, that a significant other doesn't trust. Mm-hmm. But that does not mean that I don't trust you overall in everything. And I think that's where those lines of communication come in to specify what is it exactly you don't trust him or her in. And I think that's what you're saying.
Yes, definitely. Now, let's look at it. We're using words, so let's use terminology with the words. If you say I trust, that is to put what? I strongly, firmly rely on you in the area of your character, your integrity, and your abilities, your skill set. So that's four areas you must look at with the person you've been traumatized. That means an emotional shock. You did something that I wasn't expecting, and you continue this same behavior, but I still love you. So now my passionate towards you, but my dislike towards this area, how can we build this area? I need integrity. That means you need to be honest. I need to rely strongly on your ability to do. If you don't have the ability to do it, then I, your mate, may have that ability to do it. That's where this relationship connects to a partnership. I have a part, you got a part. See, there's dimensions to this thing that people are not saying. We must break down the dimensions.
What about for people who have past traumas? So if they have a past trauma or a situation that bothered them in previous relationships, we all have that. We all have different things that are going to trigger us all the time, because that's a normal part of human interaction. So if that person goes into a new relationship and then they have a trigger of something from a past relationship, so it's a deeper trauma in a way. How do you teach them to kind of deal and separate that trauma from all the past traumas versus them grouping it together?
Okay, so now we're looking at relationship. That's correct. One relationship has come to an end, it's demise, it's over. The new relationship coming in, there must be a clear understanding. See, if you don't have an understanding, you're gonna go quickly to the thing, I can't stand you. And so here's how that works. I must let you know about me and the things that possess within me so you can support me in my now. Because what triggers us is the psychological thought of the thing. You ask yourself, is my mate consistently agreeing with the thoughts as they come up into the mind or the frontal lobe? Is they continuously thinking about this? Majority of the people who have depression is because they constantly visit the image of what has transpired in their life.
It's a cycle, exactly. A cyclical thing, yeah.
Now, in saying that, the mate is external. So I'm still looking for external stimulants, meaning you're going to stimulate me or stabilize me in this moment when I'm visit with these images, these thoughts, these things that eradicate my feelings. See, you have to understand a language they're using is, how do you feel? Well, here's the problem with that. Your feelings is based on your thinking. It should be, how are you thinking today? Mental health. I'm getting healthy. And it's a good thing to get healthy. So the mate that is traumatized says to the new mate, listen, let's go ahead, first of all, let's bullet point. Let's write down all the things that I went through, because you are now on a new ship with me. You're in a new relationship with me. And I've had problems prior to this. Now, once we do that, I call that the ISO, meaning you identify. You identify what it is that is literally happening to you in the now. Then you have the other individual help you to understand the ideals that are created in your now. So when they come up, this person can help shift those ideals or help you devalue them. See, remember, our ideals is what we value. Whatever your value in a relationship, you're saying, hey, I met you, you met me. We got standards. We got values, we got morals, we got a belief, and this is our lifestyle. Coming together immediately formulates a bond. But here's the reality. Who has the lower standards? You could be morally wrong and never go to jail. But then in morally being wrong, the person is traumatized each and every day by your language, by your behavior. How do you tell them this, what you practice, is norm to you, but it's inappropriate to me? That's where bed talk come in. That's where that conversation at the night come in. Because this is the time to talk about those touchy moments when we're at peace.
And I agree with you, but some conversations do create tension, right? Like when you're in a moment of, because Kay and I are newlyweds, so we call this year the newlywed hurdle. Like we're learning each other still. We dated prior for a couple of years. You feel like you have a good understanding, but then when you get married, it's a totally, I think it's
like. And we both have been married before, so it's not like this is totally new, but new to one another because we are now with two different people that we were in our past.
Right. So so we've been practicing with when we have something we disagree on. Sometimes we take breaks, we reset, we come back, we try to be amicable, we try to attack the problem versus like each other. But as you know, when you're in a debate with someone, because he calls me a debater, I am. I'm a facts person. I'm like, I'm going to keep coming.
She's a great debater.
Yes, audience, you know another secret about me. But yeah, so I guess my question is, how do you teach couples to get through those moments, even like communication? Because I do agree there needs to be transparency. You need to, I feel like a relationship is something you commit to every day.
And especially when right? there are two different styles of communicating. Mm-hmm. If I can add that snippet to the end of what Elizabeth just stated. You know, you have two different styles. That, again, you're not only trying to get to know each other, but now you're trying to get to know one another in combat.
Okay, I'm stepping into the camera. You see what I'm dealing with? Dr. Allison, he's lovely, but you see. Okay, so.
Well, if you put it that way, Mr. Gay, listen, I would say to you, fall back, soldier, fall back. There is a level and every individual that wants to find their voice. That's first. Because in the midst of language or talking, you are trying to find your voice. And if you come from a prior relationship where your voice was always subdued, then when you come to that new relationship, what I say, I mean. The other mate must understand that. See, when we discover each other, see, when you talk about trauma, you really discovering her Pandora box. You discovering his skeletons in his closet. But can you still remain? Did you get that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's how that works. Let's look at the word relationship. The first two letters in it is re, R-E. Let's do it again. Because we're going to talk about touchy topics. And touchy topics is going to send us on the couch, to a room, or out the house. And so we must comprehend. We got to do it again. Now, we got to redo this. If that mindset is there, that means you're prying through those areas that are rough in the relationship. Also, R-E means, here's my reality. Here's my E, emotions. Can you help support that? To you, this don't mean valuable. To me, it does. And so getting the other person to change their outlook, because remind you, each one of us has a viewpoint, but that point us in a direction. What direction are we going? Because we're no more solo, we're together. Mm-hmm. And now, do you want me to give you one on together?
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's look at together. If you spell together, you really said, I'm trying to get her. Because if you break it in parts, T-O, then H-E-R, and then G-E-T, to get her to understand, to get her to cook me dinner, to get her, that's why we come together. Let me stop. See our wordplay, right?
But you know what I heard too, like that you said a lot constantly, you know, people are trying to find their voice. And I think the thing that people underestimate is allowing someone to validate or validating what they're feeling and saying. I feel like when that, okay. Yeah, I feel like when that is missed, that is what creates that friction. Because when people feel unheard, it just amplifies the intensity of their frustration, right? And it shuts down the communication. Because I heard that in what you were saying too.
Yes, very important. Now, with traumatic trauma. Look at it.
She just called traumatic trauma.
Dramatic. through. Remember, you're going through it. And the other individual, every individual that goes through something, you have to identify what it is that I'm going through. What is this saying to me? You know, let me give you some example here. Our nation right now is going through what I was teaching a while back, that it is a spiritual trauma. They said, well, what do you mean? First, physical. Physical is where people fight, right? Mm-hmm. Physical. Verbally is you stupid, you dumb, you'll never be anything, you blink, blink, and curse it, right? Prophetic, right? Emotional is where you play psychological games with the person. And it's like the lady find a four-leaf clover, right? And she like, he loves me not, he loves me. And then she find out he only want her for, yeah. Uh-huh. And so she discovered the truth. And so it hurts. But when you talk about spiritual trauma, it falls under the church and politics. Why? Because here's how it works. In each person that is in leadership over you, that person you rely on, you depend on. In politics, you vote for the person you believe that will lower the taxes for you or whatever they're representing. Once they get into that position, they do opposite of what they said. That's trauma, but that's a small level of it. But if you live decades where you see many people in a position of authority, after a while, that small trauma has grown with you. And now you conceal inside of you that ability to say that these individuals are liars and I don't trust politicians.
Let's stop for 1 second there. You know, we saw that happen with our country. Mental health is now at like an all-time high of people recognizing they have gaps. But I don't think it started with everything that happened. I think it's been going on for a long time, right? And people were suppressing. You had this perfect storm of political tension, racial tension, isolation, where people, let's be real, you were forced to deal with yourself. And we saw the outcome of that, which was violence, rioting, some demonstrations that were peaceful, protesting. But I think all of it was a combination of that perfect storm of people not dealing with their internal mental health, you know? And so it's interesting you say traumatic Trump, you know, because, like, I do think there were traumas that were happening.
Which in reality is still, as you stated, Dr. Allison, a spiritual warfare. But a lot of people don't realize you are in a spiritual warfare.
Now, watch this. Let's look at what you just said. When the individual who was, I call it, they've been set up. We had a pandemic. Is that correct? The pandemic immediately caused everybody to have to be in the house and isolated. Mm-hmm. Immediately, the divorce rate went up like crazy.
Really high.
Police, I have friends that are police officers. Domestic violence was the first one. Mm-hmm. Because now I can't be task-oriented to go work and hide myself or go to a bar and then cover up that 24 hours of that day. I must go and face someone that I have unresolved issues with. That's first, the pandemic. Now, add to that the news, NEWS, never-ending words spoken. They've ever talked, and it's entering in. And so psychologically, the nervous receptors are getting data. Inaccurate data that was correct. So the person in our nation was already being set up because they was looking to authority to give them accuracy, but it never came. Did you get that? And so now it festers. It grows, but nobody pays attention. Now, all of a sudden, hey, I conceal this. It's with inside of me. It's growing undetected. And as soon as you say the least thing to me, here's how I identify it. Fist balled up, deep breathing, verbally attacking you. We start seeing videos like that. The simplest thing, your car hit another car, they go off on you. Because they're really releasing what has been concealed. Now I'm a conceal and now I'm a carry. Now I justifies my actions. Did y'all get that? These are layers, and we must understand that all it ain't just now one or two individuals. It's every individual in every nation. This pandemic has hit every nation, and they have been traumatized. They have went through an emotional shock that is sustaining in their characteristics and their personality. Now, let me take characteristics. Character, if you break it down, is your genes. each gene you have a different trait about you. Genetic traits. So your genetic traits, you have changed since this pandemic. You have become more guarded. You have become more defensive. You have become more put in the blank. That's why I'm coming with the word identify. Must identify immediately what has transpired and identify, support people that are around me. Now, Mr. K, you mentioned spiritual. Okay, let's look at that. In the area of the dictionary, if you get a dictionary, the third definition of depression is to lower one's spirit, indicating the scientist family knows that the mass of your body at the moment you give your last breath, that your mass changed, meaning something left the body. They say it's your soul. So now they already identified that. So we're saying then, if you are a spirit being in a natural body, let's look at it from this perspective. You are tied up to a bunch of nerves, and you are getting on my nerve. And so how do I get you over my nerves? Meaning, you are on my brain. You are on my thought patterns. And how do I shift that before I do something with what I'm carrying? Did y'all just get that?
Yeah, carry and conceal.
Caught all of it.
All of it.
all of it. And it's funny, Dr. Ellison, because I wanted you to talk about that conceal and carry methodology, which you just touched on. I understand that also the conceal and carry license and classes and courses went up as well. And so what that also tells me, especially listening to you, is people are now on guard more than ever. Because of what they have been concealing, but now you are licensed to carry.
Yes. And so ask yourself a question. Through my interaction, if I am tired when I get off of work, which I am at times, I've learned to go somewhere and take a nap. Because everything will irritate me. Meaning I come in, the dishes is dirty to sight. And now I'm telling the kids, I'm yelling at them. And daddy always coming home yelling. Well, the dish is always dirty, but they ain't looking at it from that perspective. They looking at it from daddy is always yelling. Now, why? Why would a child do that? It's because you're their point of reference. You're just like when we was in college and we wrote a good term paper. And that professor say, who was your reference? And you say, the internet. He give you the paper back. Because why? The internet, anybody can put data there. It haven't been tried. We have to understand, we must identify individuals who have been tried in this moment. Meaning, if I went through relationships and trouble in there, I'm learning, I'm growing. I shared to you the first time we met that it was a great saying that I always say. It is not a foolish man that makes mistakes, because we're all foolish men. But it is a foolish man that never learns from his mistake, because the wise man was once a fool, but he learned from what he went through. He became wiser. So he was teaching others from his experience. This is what we're looking for now. Individuals who are now developed in their character. They are matured enough through situations to think it through before they do. Versus the person that says, oh my God, I was scared. My emotions, he was black, it was night, and I shot him. Wow, for real? You're justifying your action on an emotion. Emotions come and go based on thinking.
They're fleeting.
Based on perception. Yeah. You're getting it now.
And I want to step back to something else you said that's really important, which is why I think we struggle with relationships. You talked about how you react when you come home and how you had to set this boundary or system for yourself so that your kids weren't just coming, seeing you come in the house agitated. I think like we are such an example to our kids of what to model. And we're taught about everything else. Like, you know, you go to school to be certified as certified or get a degree as a psychologist or get a doctoral degree, or you go to even get a driver's license. You have certain tests you have to take, you have to pass. But when it comes to relationships, we often just fall into them, right? And we hope it will work. not realizing that a lot of what we bring to the relationships is what we've seen model and our parents, grandparents, people around us. And unfortunately, sometimes we're going to always see some level of dysfunction, some dysfunction even worse than others. So I think that was really key what you said about how you had self-awareness to realize that I need to change this up a little bit so my kids understand, because they're not looking at it from my perspective, but they could then go into a relationship and have something that bothers them, and they would just come home agitated, and then they're carrying that behavior over, not even understanding what it is. And it's so funny you talked about genetics. Like, so Kay and I have been spending time with my dad because my mom passed last year. And so he was watching my dad, and he was like, oh my God, now I understand you so much more. Like, there's so many characteristics that are similar. And he said, it's crazy. Like, I could see certain things a certain way. And when I look at him and his parent, his mom, and how she is and how his family is, it's things I always learn and glean too about who he is. So I just feel like there's certain things that are just such, they're so embedded in us from what we've learned and who we are, which is why we have to be so intentional about having these conversations and having self-awareness to be willing to make the changes. Like you said, learning from the mistakes. You don't have to keep doing the same thing over. You should get smarter, wiser.
Yes.
Along the way.
Now,
yeah.
Let's look at your relationship. Relationship. Root word is relate. How do you relate with each other? Now, cut down the word relate down. You get the word late. If he late, do you act out of character? Did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
See, if we break the word down, sometimes my meaning is inside of the word. And so if you say relationship and break it down, relate. How are y'all relating together? Seeing that you are different in some areas and you're more like in other areas, who is now bringing humility in the relationship? Who is now saying, we're going to try it your way this time? Are you flexible? You know, some people, you know, I when I'm talking with children, they tell me, my parent is stuck in their ways. I said, well, let me educate you. If mom or dad is stuck in their ways, they're telling you, this is the ways they got me to my age, and I'm not moving from these ways. And so now you ask yourself the question, is mom and dad paranoid? Is mom and dad scared to step out and change? So remember, we are evolving. The question is, what are you becoming? I stayed in the inner city when I came from Mississippi. Many of my friends became murderers, literally. They didn't try to, but because of the gang violence, they had to defend themselves walking around on eggshells. And so that environment created PTSD, postpartum stress disorder. Now, we didn't know that at that time, but again, we was candidates of that. And so now you set us in a classroom settings where it's quiet. Now they're going paranoia, always looking around, always uncomfortable in the areas of peace. Now this person moves into the area of relationships. How can this woman support him when all his life he had to fight? Like, see me, all my life I had to fight.
That's a quote from Color Purple.
For those of you who don't know,
classic movie about all kind of family trauma. Oh my God. But anyway, yes. Yeah. What were you going to say? I think Kay was going to say something.
Oh, no. I wanted to finish.
Oh, go ahead and finish. I'm sorry.
And so, when these individuals come together, there has to be the plan. Plan is that word of strategy. What is that strategy that you want to do? You must identify what is your togetherness purpose. And so I talk about the shifts. Okay, you're in a relationship. Who is going to take ownership when certain things take place? Because if you're saying that you own this, in the middle of own and ship is ER. You can go to the emergency room, for real. Owning stuff that ain't yours. Because we give each other cargo. We don't look at it like that. But what did you put in my mind? What am I watching through your nonverbal behavior? What are you doing? Do you look insecure? When I ask you, are you okay? You say, yeah, I'm doing well, which I've already seen you're not doing well. So now, is that little lie is gonna grow? Because again, I don't want to talk about it. So we ask you to change your language. It ain't that I'm not lying to you, sweetheart. I don't want to talk about it right now. Can you respect this moment? Well, you always say that. And then that's when you give her your identity. What is your identity? Well, I am a husband, father, businessman, landlord. I'm a doc. You know, you get it? I'm a CEO. I'm an author. You give and say, listen, I'm getting too much data coming to me from every area. and it's overwhelming. And I don't want to put what I'm feeling on you because I love you. See, if people can voice that, then the relationship can start growing. But a lot of times, they're not transparent. A lot of times, that man wasn't taught that, hey, I have to give over my emotions. Because if you're a king of your house, can you go out to battle and then come back up and hang up curtains? Because that's two different mindsets. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're looking at. What are you thinking? Are you thinking? And who inspired your thinking?
Mm-hmm. What do you think, okay, in the spiritual world or in the body of believers world? I know in the Black community, you know, we always focused on prayer, and we do know prayer changes things. But when we equate that with mental health, where there's obviously some unstable things going on mentally, but we're just going to keep depending on prayer. What would you say to that? Because we do tend to shun therapy. We do tend to shun individuals in the medical field, in the holistic field that can help us determine what our mental sickness is. But yet, we avoid that because some of us, we just, you know, just depend on prayer. How would you address that with an individual as well as with a couple who may be, dealing with those types of issues?
Okay. In our field, we are taught to meet the person where they are. So that means if you're going with the spiritual side, let me share with you some things I told the adolescents. I do a session where I call adolescent, let's learn some lessons. Now, what do that mean? That means this. If a young lady go to her mother and she says to her mom, Mom, I'm going through changes. I'm about 12 years old. I'm going through changes in my body. And here's mama's response. The blood of Jesus. What that got to do with your daughter going through changes? See, what happens to individual is, and I teach this, that they get so spiritually hot, meaning that they'll go to a realm in their psyche of their spiritual belief. Remember what I said earlier, my standards, my values, my morals, and my belief. It makes up my lifestyle. And so if they go more spiritual, I would say to them, you need to read your book, the Bible, meaning first natural, then spiritual. There are natural things that must take place in order for you to move into that realm of inspiration, that realm of spiritual. And a lot of people wasn't taught this because it was one-sided. So you really saying to the person, you're not balanced. You must understand balance, okay? Let me give you some, since you put that, let me give you, Jesus was a counselor. That's why I've written the book. My first book was Prophetic Counseling, Setting the Captives Free, to write to the church to let them know that even Moses was a counselor. After Israel came out of Egypt, he tried to counsel all of them. Jethro said to him, his father-in-law, this is about to kill you. No way you can have this task. The scripture says God took 70 men of Moses and poured Moses' spirit into them, meaning they received a spirit of excellence, knowing how to conduct themselves to give an accountability to authority. See, we must understand that structure saves lives. And so if an individual is off balance, meaning they're going more spiritual than naturally, you live in the natural. And so, therefore, you must obtain knowledge, information, data about the area that need to be developed. Mm-hmm. Because we're multidimensional. Let me give you this one. I talk to the teenagers all the time. They come to me, Mr. Preston, I'm a brand. And I say, you limited, man. Because no man should be a brand. Okay, let me give it to you. If you look at any corporation, McDonald's. Hey, everybody don't eat McDonald's. Right or wrong?
Right.
You look at Tide soap. Everybody don't use Tide soap. So that's limitation there. Humanity is really bringing themselves to an area of limitation. So is a person thing, so is that person. So I say to you, I'm multidimensional. I am a father. That means I have children that I talk to. I'm a businessman. I have partners that I deal with and I talk with. I go and I do motivational speaking. Wow, those are areas that I perform duties and tasks. I'm also an uncle. When a human sees me, my nieces and nephews, I respond a certain way. We are multidimensional people, but we have found that everybody have us looking at one area. And that one thing you keep keep looking at, if I keep looking at this pen, my language is limited. And I understand why they're doing it through marketing, but that's another psychological abuse of trauma, limiting a human being in their mind to an object or a material metal. So I would say to the person, we need to create strategy to help you broaden your horizon, help you see who you are. What is your plan? P-L-A-N. What is your purpose? Let's lay that thing out. Let's write it down. You are an achiever. You achieve things. Wait a minute. What about your now? Right now. Now, if they're in the spirit realm, I say, okay, let's take now. Now faith is. However, if you telling me just to pray, I'm going to tell you there's a problem with that. See, I challenge the very status quo because I have data and scriptures to back me up. You are, look, the other day I put that out on Facebook. Just don't tell me to pray. I have to fight the good fight of faith, meaning my belief system, the way I think about this thing. And then when I read in the scriptures, Jesus told Peter, I ain't praying for your money. I'm not praying for your family. I'm not praying for your status with these disciples. I'm praying one thing. I'm praying to my Father that your faith don't fail you, meaning your belief system, the way you think. Trauma is affecting the mind. That's why we call it mental health, but people ain't getting the language. You are unhealthy in your thinking. That's why you're counterattacking the person that loves you and right there beside you. And you don't even realize it's seeking out of your personality. It's seeking out of the way you conduct yourself. If you can understand one thing and take away, you've been called to life. What is life? Lively, energetic, spontaneous. But every time I look, I see sadness, hopelessness, depression, irritation, agitation. You're getting it now? What are we becoming? And we must understand that. Caregivers have to understand that moving forward in order to serve the whole person.
We're going to have to bring you back on, sir. We're going to have to bring you back on. I'm going to be honest with you. Your ability to cover a number of topics, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's political, whether it's relational, whether it's spiritual, natural. It's amazing how you can cover all these broader bases. But then you have a rapport with adolescents. You have a rapport with single folk, with married folk, with folks who are struggling, with folks who are doing well, with folks who are mentally. It's amazing. So we have to bring them back.
Because you got us over here just processing. Yes. And I know we're processing this. And we talk to people every week about these topics. I know the audience is also processing mm-hmm. it. So we appreciate mm-hmm. you being here. We definitely want to have you back to continue this conversation. As you leave us, tell us a little bit about how people can find you, if there's any special projects you're working on right now that you want to share with people.
All right. Right now, we're working with a gentleman in what he is. He's in the Middle East. And my God, I'll get that in a second. I'm thinking, I'm sorry. I had a text. A friend of mine said, I'm waiting to get on. So it kind of shifted
it through you. Yeah.
All right, nevertheless. So I'm working with Woodlawn Restorative Justice in the Bronzeville area right now. They have different participants that they get from age 15 to age 25. And what they found in their program is that they are working with individuals, getting them jobs. But nevertheless, they never dealt with the unresolved issues of the heart. And so a lot of time when managers of different nationalities come to them, they feel offended, and a lot of them walks away from the job or various things happen. And so we're creating strategies and plans with them to help them to understand their now, see it from a different perspective. And so I'm also working with Ed Gruro, an educational base that is stated in the another country. And so I'm working with them. He wants me to be their life coach in a sense. And so that door is still opening right now. We're negotiating things from that perspective. I'm working still with the mental hospitals. River Edge is where I'm at now because there is a great need. We got multitudes coming in from children to adults, mm-hmm. and they just don't understand what is happening to them. And that is my passion. I've been with the mental hospitals for now 14 years. I've been working with people for 25 years. This has been called a life calling. And so under PAJ Associates, we can find us on Facebook. We're now revamping and re-strategizing now because the need is so great. And you don't want to put yourself out there and can't meet the need of the people because that's traumatizing.
Right.
I'm going to challenge our listener, the audience. I'm not sure if Dr. Ellison is familiar with this rapper from back in the day, but as I just continue to hear you break down words and letters and acronyms, there was a rapper called K-Solo, and his specialty was being able to rhyme any word that was tossed at him and spell it, and each word, each letter had a meaning. So for those of you out there, just pull up, Google him, K-Solo from back in the day, and you will be reminded of what we partially listen to with Dr. Allison.
So yeah, with a depth and a breadth around among trauma, relationships, intimacy, communication. I mean, just so much layered
so much content.
In it. So thank you so much for being on the show. We're going to leave our show there for our listeners. Please remember to subscribe to future episodes of Bed Talks on the Anchor app, iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And please check out Dr. Preston Allison. I'm sure you will be impressed. Like he said, he's out there on Facebook. The name of his company is PAJ Associates. All right. Thank you so much for being on the show. And until next time, XOXO.